Roland joining the show. John for getting that interview taken care of. Corey Dean for helping out in the first hour. Kind of a fluid day as John and Mitch Fortner are, well, they're actually at Highland Park High School right now in Topeka for MHS basketball. That'll be coming your way as soon as we are done here. Wanted to go through game by game the Big 12 schedule for the weekend, share a couple thoughts on the slate. It's not quite as good as what we've seen from the Big 12 matchups so far, but there are a couple that catch your attention, including the next game for – we talk a lot about how K-State's going to respond to what happened last Tuesday or this past Tuesday in Allen Fieldhouse. How does Kansas respond? They've actually got a tougher game than maybe – you would think, and I'll mention that here in just a moment, but TCU will be playing at West Virginia. TCU is 12-2 on the season, 1-1 in the Big 12, so identical to K-State, but I don't think that they're going to be able to keep up with West Virginia, who is coming off of a loss, by the way, that upset loss to Texas Tech on the road earlier this week. We'll see if they can bounce back from that. Oklahoma State is going to be at number two Baylor. Assuming the Baylor wins that one, Baylor will probably be the number one team in the country when they visit Manhattan a week from tomorrow. Texas plays at Iowa State. I'd expect Iowa State to win that one. And then it's Texas Tech at Kansas. I will say this. The teams that seem to catch Kansas at a good time are the ones that don't have the big name on their jersey. And Texas Tech is a dangerous team. They're averaging 80 points a game this year. They've got five guys that are averaging double-figure scoring. If Kansas plays poor defense, and they did play very poor defense against K-State, if they do that again, maybe you could see Texas Tech have an opportunity to catch them looking ahead to some of their other games. 537-1350 is the number to call if you want to join the show here in these last few minutes. Right now we talk to Charles Wamigo. What's going on, Charles?
You know, I guess the front runner to be the so-called quarterback of the defense next year has to be Kendall Adams.
He's in there. He's in the mix for sure. And
I don't know who else it can be, because you usually want it to be somebody in the middle. And everybody else from the middle's gone. Both linebackers are gone. Dante Barnett's gone. Donnie Starks, the slot corner's gone. You know, you really don't want it to be one of your outside corners, because you know, if they're trying to get people lined up, a quick snap of the ball and the man they're trying to cover can go deep. And also, being the outside corners, they're the furthest away from the rest of the guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't – once in a great while you might see a defensive end, but, you know, Reggie Walker's just going to be a sophomore next year.
Well, that's a name that I would throw into consideration, and I agree with you that it's rare for it to be a defensive end, but honestly, with his frame, they may have him line up at outside linebacker every now and then next year.
Yeah, but, you know, they're not too deep a defensive end. I actually do like the depth at linebacker. The problem is, like you said earlier, I mean, they're losing their three most experienced guys, and if they just had one of them back, it would help a whole lot, because, you know, between Sam Sizelove and Trent Tanking and Chase Johnson and I forget the JUCO guy's name.
Jade Kirby?
Yeah, Jade Kirby. They can find guys. They got guys there who are going to come in and play, and I think they'll find some guys out of that group. But when you're all totally inexperienced, that's not good.
I agree. It's going to be a very – I would say the linebacker position has the most important spring football season ahead out of any K-State position group.
Yeah. Switching to K-State basketball, tomorrow's a must-win. We're not even talking about a win that's going to help you for the NCAA. I mean, it's a win you've got to have. I mean, you're playing against one of the two bottom teams in the conference. And I don't know. I was surprised listening to the OU play-by-play guy. I guess I haven't watched Oklahoma in about 3 weeks, but when I watched them earlier in the year, I mean, the center position is just not there for them. I mean, Kadeem Latin and Jemani McNeese just don't play defense. They're always out of position. Latin is the guy who's gone totally backwards from where he was last year. I mean, last year he was a pretty good defensive player. You know, I think the one thing we don't want to get into him with is the one thing he did say is I don't think we want to run with them.
Right.
Because I think they're guys at the shooting guards and small forwards and power forwards. They can all handle it a little bit, and they can all shoot. Their backup point guard, Darian Strong-Moore, from what I saw him, is just not very good. I think Stokes could have a huge game tomorrow if he decides to put the ball on the floor and just drive past him. And also he can harass him on defense because Strong-Moore is not, in my opinion, a good ball handler for a point guard. And, if you can dominate the point guard position, I just think it's a mismatch tomorrow. I really do. Oklahoma might put up a fight for a half, but if we get up on them 8-10 points, I think you could very easily see this being a 20-point game.
Well, that might answer my next question. I was going to ask you, if I put the line, I haven't seen one yet, but if I put it at 8, you taking the Cats?
Yeah, I'm taking the Cats.
Okay.
Yeah, because I expect us to, like I said, I expect us to win. Right now we're the better team. And, of course, OU doesn't have Woodard. So, 8 points, I'm definitely taking the Cats.
All right.
And one final thought, I hope the officiating in the conference is better this weekend because it was bad in the midweek games, not just the K-State-KU game.
I heard a lot of complaints about how things were called in that Texas Tech-West Virginia game.
Well, West Virginia in the first half, basically their only offense was shoving to get offensive rebounds. And if you watch the second half of the Iowa State-Baylor game, Iowa State, every time they drive down the lane, used their off arms to push off. And the officials wouldn't call it. And it just, the officiating in this league continues to be baffling. Why the officiating is so inconsistent, not just from game to game, but from half to half.
Yeah.
And anyway, thanks, Tyler.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for calling in, Charles. I think that I've said this before, but every sports radio station across the country says that the officials in their league are the worst officials in the country. If you were listening in Raleigh, North Carolina, oh man, ACC officials are just the worst, et cetera, et cetera. I have a hard time. I mean, you would have to put together a lot of footage to convince me that the Big 12 doesn't have the worst officials in football and basketball, to be totally honest with you. And certainly, collectively, the officials in the Big 12 Conference have given me a lot of grief and a lot of high blood pressure.
A lot of retweets as well, right?
Okay, that's fair. That's fair, too. But in any case, I agree with Charles. I hope that we see a better performance from them this weekend, in addition to K-State getting a win against Oklahoma tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Should be a fun one. You can hear it right here on News Radio KMAN. We'll finish off the show with You Can't Be Serious next on The Game.